Okay, so time for the next subject will be heavily discounted. Late. All of us are starting to feel hungry. Okay, you don't feel pressured.
Feels better with Peter right next to me. Okay, so you have no time, so do you agree with staff recommendations?
Take the time that you need. It's an important subject.
Okay, so you just mentioned that goodwill and impairment was a project a little bit spread over time. I think the same can be said for discount rates. It's a project that is really has been initiated after 2011 agenda consultation. So I'm just going to remind us a little bit of the background before I dive into the papers. So I'll start with reminding us of the objective of why we were doing this work. So as a result of the feedback received during the previous agenda consultation that differences in discount rates in IFRS requirements are not well understood and people are not sure why those differences exist, the board has asked the staff to do a research work with the objective to identify why those differences in discount rates exist and whether those differences are justifiable and recommend if there are any differences that the board should consider addressing. So most of the work on this project actually happened around 2014-2015, and from September 2015 we have started presenting to you our findings on this research, and those were quite long and comprehensive papers on various aspects of work that was done. And the last discussion we had on this project was in April last year when we presented to you the feedback on discount rates from 2015 agenda consultation. And following your discussion on 2015 agenda consultation and making decisions, there was no explicit discussion relating to discount rate. However, the board decided, as you all know, to prioritize a smaller number of projects, and part of that was expression of expectation that the work, the cross-cutting work on discount rate project is going to conclude in the near future. So we are here today to discuss this conclusion of the research work, and to do that we have prepared two papers for you, 17A and 17B. Paper 17A is really a summarized version of the papers that we already discussed with you in past, so I was not intending today to go through the detail of that paper. I'm just going to summarize that the paper in effect it includes two main outputs of this research work. One is the findings from the research relating to existing requirements in IFRS standard and the staff analysis of how the staff saw what where standards provided explanations for every differences and where those explanations were perhaps lacking. And the second part of this paper is something we have not brought to you before, and this is something we have developed following the last discussion as a byproduct of this research, and which we called a list of matters for staff to consider in future standard setting relating to discount rates and present value measurements. And I'd just like to make a note that this paper is a summary of the findings, so therefore it does not include every topic the staff has researched. It does not include every finding. It does not include every piece of feedback we have received. I'm just going to give you an example. As a part of the work, we have done analysis of the use of terminology relating to discount rates. We have done analysis of use of the term time value of money in different IFRS standards. But in our effort to prioritize kind of the main messages, this has not found a place in the final papers. So for that reason, throughout the paper, we have included references to this more detailed work for anyone who wants to kind of see everything that has been done. So we have no questions for you on paper 17A. It's meant to be just a summary. But before I move on to 17B, I'm just going to pose if there are any comments or questions relating to anything that is 17A.
Sue.
Just a couple of comments, and one relating to the time value of money, so that may have been to stop me raising it, but
it hasn't worked.
And I'm trying not to be picky, but I guess what we want to do with this, which I think is a really good idea, is to be more precise in terms of giving information to the staff to make sure we're thinking about things in the right way going forward, which I think is a really, really good thing to do. But I felt that in this paper, we're still using the term time value of money in two slightly different ways. So sometimes I think we use in here, so for example, in paragraph 21, the concept of time value of money to refer, I think, more generally to the concept of discounting. Okay. Whereas later in the paper, when, for example, we refer to the conceptual framework in paragraph 29, we talk about the time value of money as being a sort of component of the discount rate, which is sort of more similar to what we've done in IFRS 9, where the time value of money is sort of almost, I guess, the risk-free rate, and then you add on credit risk, you add on liquidity risk and other things. And I think when we write whatever comes out of this in terms of documenting it for the staff, I think we need to remind people to be conscious of using that term more precisely as a general thing. And the other small point I just had was on the separation of separate bits of present value measurement that's summarised after paragraph 52. I agree with that, but I think for me, maybe the first question I would want the staff to ask would be, should there be presentation of separate pieces of the present value measurement at all? Because I think if you look, for example, usually at fair value measurements that come out of IFRS 13, we wouldn't have separation of bits of the measurement. Mm. And so I'm not changing...
So you're saying which, if any, changes,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Any other comments?
I do, but I think they're probably more related to the second paper. So it'll come back to this, but...
Yeah, yeah, of course. All right, so I will...
But it was a good paper, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, so is it the kind of paper we want to conclude a research project with? I think it fits the purpose. Okay.
Noted. Comments noted. Thank you. So paper 17B. So this is the paper that... targeted at you to answer the questions, so hopefully agree with the staff recommendations, and it discusses how to conclude the project. There are three kind of main sections of the paper, so if you're okay with that, I will run section by section and ask you questions separately rather than do it in one go. So the sections are first how we make use of the research outputs, and then moving on to discussion on whether a public consultation on this work is needed, and final section is whether the staff has done sufficient work to meet the objectives of the research project. So the first one is on making use of the output. So as I mentioned, paper 17A summarize two main articles of the project, being project findings relating to existing requirements and the list of matters for staff to consider in future standard setting. In regards to findings from review of existing requirements, we have summarized the current status of a follow-up that is planned in individual standard setting projects or future standard setting projects in appendix one of the paper 17B, so I would maybe refer you to that, because rather than running through each issue individually, and this is on page 11 of the paper 17B. So basically, as mentioned before, there was no intention expressed of continuing work on discount rates in a cross-cutting manner. However, it is very clear that there are many of the individual points being picked up in this research work are actually actively considered in a number of individual standard setting projects. So it's not that no work is being done, but the work is done through different means. So what this table does is sets out, summarizes all the staff's findings from our research and what follow-up, if any, is planned in individual projects, just to give people an overview and communicate that, you know, even though there is no intention of cross-cutting work on discount rates, it doesn't mean that discount rates, no, maybe discount rates issues are being worked on in the overall board's agenda. This does highlight also a couple of areas where the board has decided in the last agenda consultation that they are not something that will be worked on immediately, and it is something that is acknowledged here. So that is kind of a main follow-up or, you know, documentation of the follow-up relating to findings relating to the existing standards. And then there is a matter of how do we make use of this list of matters for staff to consider in future. So currently the way we have drafted this list is as a non-mandatory, let's say, internal guide for staff to use when developing board papers relating to present value measurements in any of the standard setting work. We have considered, or the paper discusses a little bit, that there are options, and of course we could go further with this list. This list currently doesn't say you shall do this. It says consider, and consider this, and, you know, have you thought about this? So it's really just to ensure that there is a consistency in the thought process rather than consistency of the outcome, and the outcome is the decision to be made in individual projects. As I said, we could go further with the list, but then consequences of going further would mean that the board then would need to make decisions and have a voting and agreement on each specific points, because the staff, we can't just say ourselves, you shall do this. And given your indication that you didn't want to do this in a cross-cutting way, we thought the currently proposed status is appropriate. So with that, I will move on to first question in the paper, and this is does the board have any comments on making use of the research outputs, and specifically if you have any ideas you would like us to follow up in how to make the best use of the outputs, and do you have any concerns relating to the use of project output that you would like us to work on addressing?
Mary?
I'd start by expressing support for the approach that the staff proposes to take. I think you've done what we asked you to do, and frankly, a quite difficult challenge. And I think one of the points that I would maybe bring out more explicitly is that discount rates is not an independent area that you can, you know, it's challenging to look at across issues, because some of the decisions about discount rates, and this is subject to Sue's caution about loose use of the term discount rates, is related to other decisions in a project, like what is your measurement base. And I think one thing I'd say bring out maybe a bit more is that decisions about discounting are closely integrated with decisions about measurement basis.
So
it's just an observation.
So is this something you're thinking maybe we could incorporate in, let's say, final list for staff?
I think it's something. To me, it's a conclusion I would have expected to see in 17A, and I think it's implicit, and I would just make it explicit. Mm-hmm. One reason why I think you can't do a to-do list for staff in every project is because decisions about discount rates interact with the other decisions that you make in a standard setting project. And I think that comes out in the list. But overall, I support the direction that you're taking of saying, let's take the research, turn it into, you know, staff findings, which is, I think, the guts of paper 17A, and then also drafting guidance, but standard setting project guidance regarding discount rates that applies across a range of products. So it has the findings and the guidance as the two products. And I think you're right to take the approach of, and I'm jumping ahead to the next question a bit, of not trying to be prescriptive or hardwire if this, then that, if this, then that, not only because of the further consultation that it requires, but I think we get most of the benefit without any further cost from having highlighted what some of the relationships are rather than going through all the process that tries to refine when you do precisely this, you know, and when you do precisely that. So I think you've struck the right balance in terms of how far we take this and what the products are. Two thoughts that I have, and this is where I go back, two or three thoughts I have that go back to 17A. One is, can we think about if, you know, whether your research supports the statement or not, that if the only thing you're concerned about is the time value of money, then that is the risk-free rate. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's always the discount rate. I'm saying if the only thing you're trying to reflect is the time value of money, then, you know, the conceptual, and I'm not asking you to answer that question now. It's just a, could you think about whether or not that is a statement that can or and should be made in the paper? The second is there's a discussion in 17A about guidance for recognition in OCI versus P&L and, you know, raising some of the issues around challenges from not having defined in the conceptual framework project, the, you know, kind of the meaning of P&L. I think that's true, but I think I don't think we need to rehash everything we just discussed in the conceptual framework in the discount rate paper, and so I'd suggest, you know, noting that that interacts with decisions in other projects because I don't think it's a pure discount rate issue.
So what specifically, how would I amend to refer?
Well, I'll give you drafting offline, but I think in paragraphs, in paper 17A, there's a reasonably extensive discussion of a group of issues that you relate to the lack of guidance on when something is recognized in OCI versus when something is P&L. And I think I would just point to saying that this is one of the points of interaction with discount rate with decisions in other projects and leave it at that rather than having, for example, a whole list of drafting, you know, and standard setting and drafting considerations, because I think you just point to something else rather than repeating it in here as a finding. So that's a second thing. And then the third thing, and I think that would streamline the staff findings and highlight the things that are specific to discount rates a bit more. And then the third thing is, I would ask that you take the specific narrow issue of IS 37 and the diversity in practice about whether the measurement objective is with or without own credit for the discount rate, and suggest, and maybe it's the implementation team, whether or not that is, you know, that is something that should be looked at, you know, in terms of should there be a targeted project about resolving that piece of 37, just that piece. I haven't reached a conclusion that there should be, but I think that's an open item that we should just go back and look at. So those are, Aida, the kind of three things that I'd say my support in question one then makes me think about these three things in the first paper. But I think it's the right way forward, the right direction, the right shape, and the right kind of outputs.
Just a couple of things relating to your input. I mean, I've heard time value of money now twice, which makes me think that maybe putting back that piece of work in a, I don't know, staff, you know, list or some kind of summary may be a useful thing to do.
I'm not sure what you mean by putting it on.
So what the work we have done is basically analyzed use of the term time value of money in different standards and what different standards mean by time value of money. And in most cases, it is the, you know, what is referred to as risk-free rate or a minimum risk-free rate. Minimum risk rate is the way kind of I think we prefer to express it now. I think what we never attempted to do is have kind of higher level discussion of what time value of money means, because, you know, that in itself could take years. And
well,
it wasn't
then maybe not pursue that. But I just what was suggested to me, rather than more research or pulling more detail. Mm-hmm. And it comes from the second of the discussions of discounting, maybe paragraph 29 that Sue pointed to, that when you decompose discount rates into all the various factors, one is the time value of money. And I take as a conclusion from this that if you are being disciplined, and then when you say time value of money, you mean the risk, we should mean the risk-free rate. And the reason I'm hesitating about going back and pulling lots of research about how it has been used in different standards is I'm not sure we've always been precise or, you know, or used that. So I'm not so much interested in the past as opposed to the learning point.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with Mary, because just a suggestion for you to go away and think about.
Yeah.
If going forward we want to try and encourage ourselves to be more specific in how we use that term, I think that's a fantastic way to use the output of what you write up for the staff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, we can certainly do that, and if there's agreement amongst the board, our hesitation with doing this in the first place was that this would be us giving instructions, basically. And we said this is non-mandatory list. It is not giving specific instructions, and this would amount to instruction. But then having said that, if there's felt there's no controversy about this...
I think we can look at that
I don't want to try and decide it today. Don't want to ask you. I'd say, can you go off and look at that?
Yeah, okay. And just to on your point on the OCI, I mean, the OCI was... review of the presentation. When you say OCI, I'm linking it to the overall presentation of the present value measurement and changes in present value measurement. And this was included in the scope of the project. Did I understand you correctly? You were saying just it's about messaging. It's not about taking it out of the scope of the project, but it's just kind of work on how it's described. Is that?
I think that. That's probably right. It seemed that a lot of 17A in the staff findings was taken up by recounting in summarized fashion the issues that we explored and concluded on, or decided we couldn't conclude on, in conceptual framework. And rather than having a parallel discussion in the discount rate recap and findings, I think I would just point to that and instead spend the time highlighting the interaction of discount rate decisions with, you know, where things are recognized, that rather than repeating a lot that we've done elsewhere.
So maybe we can, as you said, discuss offline how best we can
drafting.
Achieve that. Okay.
I just wanted to comment on the first point Mary made, which was about the fact that discount rates don't live on their own island and they're connected with everything else. I think that's going to be a really important point with the communication when we finish, because in both the gender consultations in 2011 and 2015, people said they wanted us to look at discount rates because of the diversity. And of course, the main driver of most of the diversity is the interaction with other components or the measurement objectives. So I think it's going to be really important for us to get that message out.
Wigwa.
Short comment. These are papers, you know, I like the most, you know, among. I like the most. And I personally feel, you know, the current shape is basically okay, except some editorial, you know, work we have to do. And I don't think it is necessary and useful to make it conclusive, you know, because it is, you know, discussion or some kind of research and find issues and give to the staff in the future for considerations in different projects. I have one suggestion that is specifically related to our conceptual framework project. Of course, this research relates to many projects, you know, pensions, 37 and 36 and others. And I personally feel it is very closely related to the measurement chapter of or a conceptual framework. And unfortunately, you know, we cannot find the most, you know, the in-depth of the discussion about this county in the conceptual framework. Some want more, some want less, and some want even say just a delete. I agree the current, you know, content in the conceptual framework, it's enough. And, but I would personally feel it would be useful in the basis in this area to mention this project, not conclusively. Both have discussed or explored something like this. And also, if possible, you know, link clearly. Then in the future, people won't discuss, you know, issues around, and then they find our board once discussed and explore, you know, at in depth. this one suggestion. And one thing, it is quite interesting, you know, the staff highlights one issue that is related to regulatory activities, which I dislike very much. 21A, and this is exactly, you know, one of the reasons. I don't want to dig into further why I dislike the possible direction. I think staff is right. We have to consider, you know, better money. Mm-hmm. Because based on the discussions last week, you know, as a member already, you know, raised many questions, you know, and two of the areas I personally feel will have to discuss. One is, you know, there will be different scenarios, and then whether we use one measure or expected value measure, and which we already exposed in 2009, the exposure chart. And also some SM member mentioned about, in some cases, it will be long time, you know, decision, you know, and therefore the cash flow prediction will be, you know, different time period. Then we have to discuss, you know, whether we use undiscounted or discounted amount. So these two areas make me difficult to accept to explore new model, but staff highlight the issues which I feel it is appropriate.
I hope you make the right decision on that part.
Firstly, just on the two questions you've asked us, I don't think we need to do anything more. I think we've done sufficient now. We can go ahead from here. Because it's in the question box, I just wanted to refer to how we're going to use this information going forward. I think the staff have done a lot of really good work, and I think what Mary said here, this is a very difficult area to explore, so there's been a lot of good work done in this space. I think the board has spent a lot of time on the process, and I think our constituents have spent some time with us in the various meetings we've had with them discussing this. So I think it's incumbent on us to maximize the use of the material that we've developed here. The difficulty with putting it into an internal process is it's going to become a little bit about discipline. So it's kind of going to be there, and we're sort of relying on people to do something. So I would just urge staff to say I think it's really, really important that we impose some kind of process to make sure that we are using this material when we talk about discount rates going forward. And I think in part that may mean that we sort of at least suggest that staff actually mention it in the papers they bring to us so that we're aware and we're reminded of the existence of this paper on an ongoing basis. Mm. And so this work has actually got a long-term benefit.
Okay, so do we need to vote now?
So, I mean, the question one was really asking for comments. I would just I will just combine the two. So the question two was asking whether any consultation was needed, and the staff recommended not to. And the question for the board is, do you agree there's no need to seek feedback from the public on this project specifically? And the third question is...
just keep them up.
That was everybody, yeah.
Okay. All right. And the third question, I hope you answer the same. So
we just did. Okay, thank you, Aya, for this.
Okay, all right.
We take a break till 1:45.